week. So if you have yours from last week, that's fine. If you don't, we have a copy for you here. All right. Oh, let's see here. See, we left off. We started with the duties of the pastor, and we looked last week at the qualifications of a pastor and the purpose of a pastor. Pastor is to be God's caretaker or overseer of the church, and we're talking about why are we Baptists, and we're on the last letter of the word Baptist, and we're talking about the two offices of the church, the pastor and the deacon. All right. And this is important because there's a lot of controversy on that. It's I've been to churches where there are committees out the years, you know, committees all over the place. And I remember my home church; they had committees for just about everything, and that's fine if they want to do that. But really, there's just two offices that in the Bible, and that's the pastor and the deacon. And we saw that in Philippians 1, verse 1, and really many passages we could look at. And so we talked about the names of the pastor, bishop, elder, and the word pastor. Talks about the duty of the office, the design of the office, and the dignity of the office. We talked about the purpose of the pastor, who is the overseer of the church, and God has placed a person in this position. And that position is to oversee the church. That's how it works. That's how God has ordained it to be. Now, we saw there under letter B, God calls men into the ministry. The church itself ordains them. That means they appoint them, they choose them. And I think there is something to the electing of a pastor. I think there's something to that. And the church has to decide on that. And then also the Holy Spirit sets him into position. All right? I have an uncle who is part of the Church of God, and I've sat with him and talked with him at length. He's a saved man, very, very much so. He loves the Lord. And he's in the Church of God, and he called him up, you know, the hierarchy of the church, you know, and he said, I'd like to pastor. Okay. So they moved him to Buffalo, New York. You're pastoring this church, and you're going to be there for X amount of years, and then you're going to move to this church. And he was at this one, and he was at that one. And, you know, that's just not a biblical way of doing things, you understand? Now, I'm not saying God can't use a man who's saved and serving him to the best of his ability at that time, but we're going to do things the Bible way, amen? And there have been times, even in my short ministry that I've been here, where I've had to go back to this in the Scripture, and God has called me to this position, right? I am called here. And this is not something I'll give you an example. When I first came here, there's a family that kept talking about my performance. All right, I'm kind of getting in the weeds here because I have some people here that may go into ministry someday. So that's what I'm talking about this for. All right, we're just us here this morning, but they kept talking about my performance. And every time I'd make a mistake, like I'd say a word wrong as I'm reading my scripture or something, you know, they'd come up to me and point it out, you know. And it just came to a head, and I had to sit down with him, had to talk to him. I went through all the qualifications of a pastor with him. I said, have I disqualified myself? And they said, no, you haven't. I said, well, then I am not here. I am not hired. And they've actually said the words, we hired you. You know, because I think that's the one message I talked about my computer programming as an illustration, you know, and they said, we hired you to be a pastor, not a computer programmer. I said, wait a minute here. God called me here. You didn't hire me. There's a difference. It's a big difference. And I'm not just performing here. We're doing God's ministry. There's a big difference in the way we look at this thing. We're actually going to talk more about that this morning in the morning's message, our mission as Christians. But God calls men into the ministry. And men, if you're called into the ministry, whether it's a pastor, whether it's an evangelist, or a missionary, whatever it is, If you're called there, you have to always remember that. You're called. God puts you there. No man puts you there. Yes, the church votes perhaps and you know, takes you on and that type of thing. And that's one aspect of it, but it's God who called you. God made that decision. And who's to stand against God? Until he moves you, you stay. And so the third thing there we talked about was the qualifications of a pastor, 22 of them to be exact, and starts off with a desire, which I think is very, very important, prerequisite for being a pastor. And all of these qualifications found in 1 Timothy 3 and also Titus chapter 1. And then we started on the duties of a pastor, and I think we got to number one there, to lead. And first part of this, and we're going to go through the names of this of the pastor, titles of the pastor. First one is elder, and that talks about the overseeing of the pastor, the duty of the pastor, and this is to lead. Pastor is to rule and exercise God-given authority, all right? Let's look at these verses this morning, right now, and then we'll kind of visit them again as we go. But 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, and as we look through this morning, the pastor is to be an example. He's to lead by example, and we'll see that in just a minute. So everything the pastor is supposed to be doing, really, we're all supposed to be doing, honestly, truth be told. That makes sense? It's good for everybody. What's good for the pastor is good for everybody. Pastor's just held to a little higher standard, if you will, in God's eyes, because he's going to give an account of being pastor, all right? So, but I think everything we learn here this morning can apply to our own lives. So verse 12 says, "We beseech you, there, brethren, to know them that which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love, for their work is for their work's sake, that it be at peace among yourselves." And so there's a lot being taught here, but notice it says to know them that labor among you. I don't think a pastor is to lord over his heritage, right? God's heritage. That's not how a pastor is to operate here. Pastor is just to get right down and labor among them. I remember when I was in Tennessee, I worked two jobs at the same time for a while, then I moved from one to the other full time. I worked at West Knoxville, and West Knoxville had a fella who's supervising. This is a wastewater plant. His name is Ronnie. Really nice guy. He's a Christian. But he had a different type of leadership. You know, his leadership was he sat in his office all day. That's all he did, you know. He never went out and did anything, literally nothing. But he expected anytime he took the truck and rode the plant that you have to have a hose in your hand, you got to have a wrench in your hand, you got to have something. You better be working, that type of thing, you know. And he'd knock you over the head. And that was just how he was. And God bless him. But I began working at another water utility at the same time reading water meters, you know, in the early morning hours. And so I would go out there and read water meters, and the guy who was over me there was Larry. Larry was a totally different leader than Ronnie. Larry would work just as hard, if not harder, than the people he had under him. That's an amazing thought. And I would go to work, and he wouldn't say, "Well, today you're going to." He would say, "Today, if you want to, we'll go over and do this." That's how he said. One morning I came in just as a joke. He says, "If you want to, we'll go and paint a fire hydrant." And I said, "I don't want to today." He looked at me and I said, "No, we'll do it. I'm just teasing." It's how he was. It's how it's an old Southern boy, you know. I found myself, and I learned something about myself, and I learned something about leadership. I found myself working three times as hard for Larry than as I did for Ronnie. Why? Because Larry led, he labored among us. That makes sense? And pastors do the same thing. And here in this passage it says that he is to be over the church in the Lord, and he is to admonish the church. And why? Well, so that we all be at peace among ourselves. Amen? So praise the Lord for that. And then let's turn to another one here. Let's go to Hebrews 13. We'll look at that one. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." All right, so the pastor here is to be over the church. That's what the Bible says, all right? And he is to speak the word of God. Now notice, he's to be followed in the context of his faith. All right, so follow his faith. Now, I think some pastors don't have the faith they ought to, but you ought to follow the pastor's faith, considering the end of their conversation. Look down at verse number 17, a little more to this. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." A pastor is to watch for the souls of the people of the church. It's to watch out for them. "As they that must give an account." So there's some accountability to a pastor. One day, we're all going to stand before God and give an account of our own lives, are we not? Well, pastor's going to do that too, but a pastor's also going to give an account on how he dealt with church matters, with church people. And I think parents is also going to have to give an account on how they treated their children, right? So you have somebody under you, you have to give an account how you dealt with that person. It doesn't mean that every person under you is going to do exactly what you want them to do. That's up to them. But how you dealt with them, you're going to give an account with it. And so pastors are going to have to stand before God and give this account. Why? "That they may do it with joy, not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you." And we'll get to this. We'll talk about this verse a little more later. But there are two ways a pastor should lead in your notes. Number one, he should lead by example. Example. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock." And so the pastor here is to lead by example. All right. So if the I remember I use it as a joke, and really, my dad is a wonderful father. Praise the Lord for him. But he would after the supper table, he'd lean his chair back. He'd say, "All right, boys, let's do the dishes." And we knew what that meant. You know, he's going to go sit in his chair. He worked a really hard day. My dad put in 14-hour days. You know, he's just very tired, and that's fine. He can go sit down. He had every right to do it. Amen. But, you know, oftentimes he would joke around and say, "Do as I say, not as I do," you know. And I know it was a joke because my dad very much did what he told us to do. He lived, practiced what he preached. That's what I'm trying to say. And a pastor ought to do the same thing, ought to practice what he preached. It ought to be an example. A good pastor will seek to follow the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. So pastor has somebody to follow, that's Jesus. People will only follow a man that they see following the Lord Jesus Christ. Very important. All right, letter B, taking the oversight. Taking the oversight. In chapter 5, verse 2, there it says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." Pastor must exercise his leadership. No pastor can lead just because he is the pastor. He must take charge. And this is for some people, it's very simple, very easy, and they just have the personality to take charge. You know, my father was one of them. You know, when my dad walks in the room, he's in charge. I mean, that's just his personality. He's got that type A personality, you know. I don't have that. And some people have to work at this a little more than others, but a pastor ought to take the oversight. Strong leadership results in a strong church, whereas a weak-kneed, timid, wavering pastor, and put a bunch of other adjectives in there if you want to, but can only produce a weak church, all right? So we need to be leaders. And of course, again, the pastors by example, we ought to lead in our own homes, should we not? Men, ought to lead in your own homes. A pastor is not to be a dictator. He's not to be a lord over God's heritage. The moment a pastor starts calling this his church, he's got a problem. major problem. This is not his church. This is God's church. The pastor is simply as, he's a sheep just like the rest of them. Really, I mean, seriously. He's called, the Bible has the idea of an under-shepherd. Jesus is our chief shepherd. And, you know, pastor is to get his directives on a daily basis from the Lord shepherd, Jesus Christ, right? And then he's to execute them. That's as simple as it gets. There's nothing more to it. And so the pastor here isn't to lord over God's heritage. He gives clear direction and leadership for every ministry of the church and every decision facing a church, but he's not to be a dictator. All right, so the second thing here is to feed. And this is the exercise of a shepherd. And that's the job of a shepherd, is to lead the sheep to green pastures, correct? And make sure they have something to eat. Over the winter, I have cows, and we had one over the winter, Patty. Cow Patty is her name, but and she, her first name's Cow, last name Patty. Anyways, but she just, this winter, I've never seen a winter so hard. I mean, it was a lot of snow for a long time, and the grass was not visible for months and months on end. Towards the end there, Patty got very, very anxious, if you will. She just couldn't stand it. I mean, you could see her. You watch her hoof print. She's just walking the property just constantly. She's not content. Now, we have hay. I never ran out of hay for her. We always put hay out there and plenty of hay. I mean, there's a pile of hay sitting there she hadn't eaten yet. You know, she's got plenty of food. But in her pea brain, you know, of a cow, I don't know what they have going through their brains, but she just got very, very nervous. That's right. She ended up jumping the fence in a place and found her 2 miles away. And you saw her. She's just bellowing like she's going to die. I'm like, you had everything you needed right there. You know, it's right there. It's your hoof prints, you know, hoof tips, you know. It's right there. Just come on. Come on back. And so pastor, though, is to feed the sheep. All right, let's look at Acts 20 and verse number 28. Acts 20. In verse number 28, the Bible says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." All right, so there's a lot in this verse, but if you see there in verse number 1, you're to take heed, the pastor's to take heed to himself. Do you see that in the verse there? Now, let's say you had a shepherd of a flock, and he hasn't eaten in 2 months, and he's not taking care of himself. His health is bad. How in the world is he going to lead those sheep up a steep mountain grade to green pastures? He's not going to be able to do it. And so, a pastor needs to be feeding himself first. You got to feed yourself. If you're not close to the Lord as a pastor, you cannot lead anybody else. You can't do it. You need to have a relationship with the Lord. And then you're to look and to look to all the flock and take heed to them, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And so we see here that you're to feed the flock. The pastor is commissioned by the Lord. Several things here. Number one, to give himself to the ministry of the word. All right? In Acts chapter 6 and verse number 4, there was a need in the church. It was a physical need. There were certain widows who, for whatever reason, and we're not really going to get into the reason, but for whatever reason, they were neglected. And they needed, as it says here, serving tables. They needed physical help, you know. And so the Bible says in verse number 3, that here the apostle speaking, he says, "Wherefore..." I'm sorry, verse number 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The pastor is to give himself to the continual prayer, continually to pray, and to the ministry of the word. That's what God says. He's to give himself to the ministry of the word. it is very, very important for your pastor to spend a lot of time in study. I'm just saying that. Your pastor, there's a lot of pastors who work. I work 30 hours a week, usually. So I consider part-time, I guess. And I have to, and that's fine. I'm not complaining one iota. That's just how it is. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Paul worked, did he not? He worked. So I'm not complaining, but a pastor, if he is left to do everything in the church, there's a problem there, you see. There's a problem there because a pastor needs to give himself to the ministry of the word. If your pastor is unhealthy spiritually, the whole church is going to suffer, the whole thing. If a pastor isn't in his word getting the message that God wants him to give, that's a problem. It's a problem. And so it's important to help the pastor out in that way. But the pastor is to feed the flock. And so a pastor should be giving himself to the ministry of the word and praying rather than watching videos or playing video games or riding four-wheelers all the time or whatever it is. You know, just the entertainment thing needs to go out the window. You do what you have to do to take care of your family, and then you the rest of the time you give to the Lord. You give to God. All right, number two here, feed the church. Feed the church. And we saw Acts 20. We also saw 1 Peter. But let's look back at the book of John 21. John 21 and verse number 15. John 21 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs. And he said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And so there's a lot being taught in this passage, and we're not going to get into all of it, but Jesus told Peter three times to feed his sheep. I think Peter had his eyes on himself a little too much, don't you think? Even after this, when they're walking along and Jesus is talking to John, you're going to die of an old age, or first he said to Peter, you're going to face persecution. He looks around and says, what about him? You know, John, what about him? And Peter's just looking at himself, and Jesus says, stop looking at yourself, start feeding the sheep. And I think Peter got it, because you get to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 2, and Peter's admonishing other pastors to feed their sheep. Amen? So I think he got it. I think he learned that lesson. The third thing here, letter C, is to hold fast the faithful word. Hold fast the faithful word. Titus chapter 1, verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And so the pastor is to hold fast the word of God. And so the pastor ought to know what he believes and why he believes it, and not waver in that thing. Know what is a fighting ground and what's not a fighting ground, right? And know his scripture. So when he is asked about it by a gainsayer, someone who is challenging the word of God and challenging the faith of God, he ought to know where in the Bible to turn, right? It's very, very important. And so he ought to hold fast the faithful word. He had to preach the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. The Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. These words are spoken to a young preacher named Timothy. And so a pastor is to preach the word of God. I think there is a very, very much of an emphasis on preaching in the word of God. Amen? And so we need to preach the word of God. Letter E, do not do the work of the evangelist. 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 5, it says, but watch thou in the things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. And There's a lot we could say about this, but if you study this whole passage out, you'll find that doing the work of evangelist is the remedy or the cure for a lot of heartache. It really is. You got heartaches, you're trying to endure afflictions, go out and witness to somebody. Your afflictions will go out the window. I'm serious. And when we're trying to, he says that right alongside of enduring afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Very important. So the pastor is to do the work of an evangelist. Now, the church is given several different gifts. One of them is an evangelist. So there's the gift of an evangelist, and he is for many churches, and God uses that. And then there's the gift of the pastor and teacher. And so there is a gift of an evangelist, but the pastor is a pastor. It's a different gift, all right? And I talk to evangelists. Shane Kohlmeyer is one of them. And we sit down, and he has a totally different outlook on life than I do. Totally. Because he's an evangelist, you know? He thinks differently about the ministry than I do. I've talked to several evangelists, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. God has given him given evangelist that mindset. I'm going to go in here, I'm going to preach fire and hellstone and everything, and I'm going to leave. The pastor's here to pick up the pieces, you know. The pastor's on a day-to-day basis working with the same people, day in, day out, month after month, year after year, and he sees them go up, he sees them go down, he sees them go up, and there's a grace that it takes to do that. Now, if you put me in the evangelism world and God hasn't changed my heart to give me that gift and all that type of thing, I would just fall flat on my face because I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could go somewhere every week, somewhere different, and preach the word. And then I'm wondering, whatever happened to that fella? Whatever happened to that lady who was coming down to the altar? What happened there? I couldn't do that. You see, that's not what God made me to do. And so here we see that the pastor, though, is to do the work of an evangelist. In other words, he needs to be soul winning. He's to speak speak the word of God. We already read Hebrews 13, verse number 7. You ought to speak the word of God on a regular basis. You ought to know the word of God. You ought to speak it. 1 Timothy 5:17, labor in the word and doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. It is a labor. Now, it's a good labor, but it's a labor. It's not easy to sit down and prepare a message. On average, I spend probably 5 hours on one message. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of time. It takes time to sit down and study the Word of God. It takes time to read and just engross yourself in the Word of God. It's important, though. It's important. I remember I read a book. It was a biography, and I can't remember who the biography was on. I really can't. But he was in the early 20s. And he was in the hills of Virginia, and where there were moonshiners and everything going on. And he was Free Will Baptist. Free Will Baptist, how he started out. And he became Independent Baptist. But I read this book when I was in high school. It was a long time ago. But the Free Will Baptist of that day did not want any preacher that had ever been educated. In other words, the average length of education of most of the preachers in that day, I think, was like third or to fifth grade in elementary school. And the reason behind that, they didn't want anybody educated behind the pulpit. In fact, pastors of that day wouldn't even study. They'd get up into the pulpit and they'd open their Bible like this, point to a verse and start preaching on that verse. I don't know how they got anything out of the messages. Maybe the Lord gave special grace on that day, but pastors need to be students of the Word of God. It's a labor. It takes work. It's not always easy. In fact, it's not always fun. It really isn't. And sometimes I sit down at the desk to study for a message, and you know, I would rather be outside working on something else. Honestly, I would rather do that. But this is what the Lord has for me to do, and so we're going to do it. Amen. And so there's a labor of word and doctrine. And then lastly here, to admonish. Admonish, which means to warn, reprove gently. And we read this verse already in 1 Thessalonians 5:12. But it is the pastor's job sometimes to say things that aren't easy to be said. And it's hard to hear sometimes too. But the pastor needs to say it. So when your pastor comes along and says something that's a little harsh, you know, now I think if a pastor says it mean in a mean spirit, that would not be good, right? But in a loving spirit, speak the truth in love. And so if a pastor comes along and says something that is a little hard to hear, he's just doing his job. Literally, he's just doing his job. You got the police officer who stops you for speeding. How dare he stop me? I'm in a hurry. He's just doing his job. He's just, that's what he's supposed to do. That's what he's doing. And so God has given the pastor these mandates here. A pastor is also referred to as a teacher. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he is a pastor teacher. He's got the two sides of the coin there. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:2, he's supposed to be apt to teach. In other words, at a drop of a hat, that's what he wants to do. He wants to teach. He's just got a teacher's heart in him. All right, number three is heed. Heed. This is the exercise of a bishop. Of a bishop. And as we saw, this is the design of the office, the bishop. Am I saying that right? No, it's the duty of the office. He's to heed. All right, so heed. The pastor is to be the protective umbrella under which a church is kept safe from danger. A pastor needs to be vigilant in watching out for Satan's attacks upon individual members, internal strife within the church, and false teachers. There have been times where I feel like Pastor Inboden feels like he's just holding this thing together by a thread, if you will, and trying to hold it together for all it's worth. And really, it's the Lord who does this, but the pastor is the tool by which the Lord does it, you see. And so a pastor can be pulled in many different directions, but really all he's trying to do is to protect. He's trying to protect. Maybe it's an evil spirit that's coming in. Maybe it's somebody that's coming in from the outside and damaging the flock, you know. He's teaching false doctrine. The pastor needs to be very wary of that. Watch out for it. He needs to spot it before it comes. And that is a prayer that I pray on almost a daily basis, if not daily. I pray that the Lord would give me wisdom beyond my ability, because I'm just a dumb box of rocks. Really, that's all I am. And I can't see things. If you left it to myself, I'd miss it all. I'm just like oblivious. One saying my dad said to us kids, but he said it to me most of the time, it was mostly to Matthew Inboden. He said, beware of your surroundings. If I heard that once, I heard it a million times. I'm serious. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of your surroundings. Why did he say that to me? Because I'm not aware of my surroundings. I'm just not. I'm oblivious to what's going on. And it's if I'm left to my flesh and my personality, that's how I am. I'm very laser focused on things. And I don't have peripheral. And I ask the Lord to watch and make me aware, slap me upside the face if need be, you know, whatever it is. Please help me to see these things. And so perhaps it's an evil spirit in one of the sheep of the church, and pastor's supposed to see that and squelch it out. Because, you know, when I was on the farm growing up, we'd herd the cows in. We'd have about 100 head or so. And, you know, you always had that one cow that just would not listen to anything that you said, you know? And you're just trying to get him through that fence right there, that gate right there. Let's get him through the gate. And you start taking the four-wheeler or the horse or whatever you got and just riding around, you know, and I always did a semicircle, just kind of pushing them this way, pushing them that way, and, whoa, get back over here, come back, and just keep pushing them, you know, drive at them a little bit, hey, you know, come back this way. And there's always, they're all facing the fence, they're all facing the gate, and it's going good. There's that one idiot in the middle that's facing this way. It's like, if you could get in there with a 2x4 and just go pow, like that. and get him to turn around, the whole thing would go. Does that make sense? And sometimes God puts it on the pastor's heart to see that. And it's a little harder when it comes to people than it is with animals. All right, so let's look at our notes here. Letter A, he's to take heed to himself. We already saw that in Acts chapter 20. The first thing the pastor has to worry about is himself. How is my personal walk with God? Am I acting in the flesh right now? Right now, am I acting in the flesh? And I think that's something a pastor has to fall on his face before God on a daily basis. Am I making this decision in my flesh, or am I making it because the Spirit of God wants me to? And then he has to take care of his family. Before the church, God has given me a family. He's given me a wife. He's given me children, 5 kids. And that is my responsibility. And at all costs, I will fight for my family. And then thirdly, he needs to take heed, letter B here, take heed of the whole church. And again, we already read, let's turn back to, because I think we need to read verse 29 as well. Acts 20, verse 28. Verse 28 there says, take heed therefore to yourselves. This would be me personally. This would be the pastor personally. This would also be the pastor's family in my view here. I'm take care of myself and make sure I am right with the Lord. And then you take care of take heed to the whole flock of God. Verse 29 says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And in letter C in your notes there, it says, watch for religious wolves. Really, I guess you could change that word religious to grievous wolves. But the Bible talks about several different types of wolves that will come in. Wolves are usually clothed as sheep. You know, I honestly think sometimes a wolf doesn't even know they're a wolf, really. They don't even know it. Some do. I think there are some that come in and they're just bent on hurting God's heritage. But some hurt when, you know, they don't even want to. They're not even thinking that, but they are hurting. And so the wolves there, and it's the pastor's job to see that. That's his job. Let's say he's to watch for these things. He says here to take heed to the whole flock of God because of this. There's these grievous wolves that come in, and they don't spare the flock. And God has entrusted this flock to this pastor, and so the pastor's supposed to be watching out for this. Watch for schismatics and heretics. In verse number 30, it says also, of your own selves shall men arise. So the wolves mainly are from outside coming in. There's also a source from the inside. Your own selves, men shall arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. It's almost like a lot of times I think it's a wolf that comes in and makes even some of the sheep do this and be grievous, you see. Sometimes it's just some bitterness that's in somebody's heart. It's a good person. I remember Pastor Duffer, he told me, he said, and I was talking to him about a specific situation going on right here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. This is years ago. And I told him about the situation, and he said to me, and I was expecting him to go off and say, well, Matthew, you're right, and so-and-so shouldn't be doing this. The first thing he told me, and pastor to pastor, he said, that man is not the enemy. And I'm just like dumbfounded. Because in my mind, I had it, that guy is the enemy. And he said, that's not the enemy. This Satan is the enemy. Reserve all your hatred for Satan. This man is being used of Satan. And it went on to say, God, Satan can use good people, good, well-meaning people, good Christians that are going to heaven, love the Lord even, and Satan can use them to do his work. That's scary, isn't it? I hate Satan. I really do. So we have from outside the church, from inside the church. Notice, we already read this, but Hebrews 13, verse number 17, it says here he's to watch for the souls of God's people. That's just, that statement frightens me as a pastor. It frightens me as a pastor because it's kind of like that same, along the same lines as the principalities and powers in Ephesians 6. I mean, we're getting to a realm where I really don't understand here. I just don't get it. And it's beyond my capacity, my brain capacity. And I don't know how to do this. And so I'm really going to have to rely on the Lord a lot. But a pastor here is to watch for the souls of the people in the church. How do you do that? How in the world? I think only the Lord can do it and use the pastor in the process. But the pastor is to watch for the people's souls. Letter F, he's to stop the mouths of unruly and vain talkers. I mean, come up, put your hand on their mouth. Stop talking. Just stop. Stop it. That's the job of the pastor. And then letter G, pray for and visit the sick. And of course, James chapter 4 talks about praying for the sick. If it's any among you sick, let him come ask the elders and let them pray for them, right? Because prayer of the fervent man availeth much. And so here we see that the pastor is to be involved in all of these. He's to take heed to this. Now, I've gone way longer than I wanted to this morning, but I think it's been important. We're going to pick it up at letter E next week about the church's responsibility to its pastor. And we will we'll pick it up there. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for putting us in a church, and it's not a social club. It's not something that the world would figure out, but this is God ordained.